Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute, and we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
There was an old friend of mine, right after I first got saved. He was an older man. And he loaned me a 12-string guitar and said, keep it as long as you want. And I took that thing to church every Sunday. We'd get out of service on Sunday morning about 12:30, 1 o'clock, go home and stick my feet under my mama's table for Sunday dinner. As soon as I get done with dinner, I'd grab that guitar and I'd go back to the church. And I'd sit on the front porch. And I'd sit there and play and sing to the Lord until it was church time. Pastor showed up one Sunday afternoon about 4:30 and said, how long you been here? I said, since about 2:30. He said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm waiting for church. He said, you've been sitting here since 2:30 waiting for church tonight? I said, yeah. He said, well, I wish everybody else felt that way. And I told him, I said, well, I don't understand why they don't. This is my favorite place to be. That old man that gave me the guitar, he wrote music. He had a singing group, and the singing group was called the Bass Family. And we sing one of his songs here, Sitting Down to Supper with the King. That's one of his songs. I got permission to record it. There's another song that I've got permission to record, but I don't have it all, and I don't remember it all. It's Sinner, What You Gonna Do When You Wake Up and Find All the Good Folks Gone? Yes, ma'am, it is. It sure is. That's the title of my message today. Sinner, What You Gonna Do? I'm gonna be reading from Matthew 24:33. Hallelujah. And it says this, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not the hour, or for your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Amen. Would you please stretch your hands this way and pray for me this morning? My most kind and gracious and precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before your throne today, dear Lord. I know the message you put on my heart. And Lord, I'm going to do my best, but I need your help. I need you, Lord, to anoint my mouth, my tongue, my heart, my soul, and mind, dear God, that I be the vessel through which your word would come. Help me, O God, to be that man today. Help me to bring that word today, dear God, in such a way that it would magnify the name of Jesus. Uplift you, dear God, in your throne room. Let your name be glorified throughout all the universe, dear God. And let it go out into the hearts and minds of all those under the sound of my voice, those that would receive this word today, that their lives would be changed eternally, dear God, because of this word today. In Jesus' name, we thank you and pray. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You can be seated. We were talking about some things going on in Sunday school class this morning. We were talking about the things that are happening in the world. One thing that came up was the digital currency that we're supposed to be being forced into. And that was supposed to have happened already, according to news reports I heard months ago. That should have been done already, but we ain't heard nothing about it since. So I don't want you to let that trouble you. Let not your heart be worried. But it's supposed to happen. According to the scripture, it's supposed to happen. Because we're supposed to, at the point that just before the rapture takes place, the world is supposed to migrate to two systems, a one world government and a one world money system. And both of those is so that they can control the masses. It's supposed to happen. So the fact that it is happening should not be a means of trouble to your soul. It should be letting you know we're almost home. Come on, somebody. I'm going home with Jesus. I'm on my way to heaven. On August 12th, I got saved on the 12th. Sanctification began on the 13th, and I got the Holy Ghost on the 14th of August, 1983. So I always kind of get those numbers jumbled in my head. Happened during a revival. I made my reservation in the mansions of heaven. I asked the Lord Jesus into my heart. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. My name's been written there, and he has washed away my sin. Glory to God. When I stand before the judgment seat, the enemy's going to be standing there, the prosecuting attorney. He's going to be standing there bringing all the things I've ever done wrong. And let me tell you something, saints. There's a bunch of it that I've done wrong. And that the devil, the prosecuting attorney, is going to be standing before the Lord, and he's going to be saying the whole time, he's done this, he's done that, he's this wicked person, he's so wicked, Lord, you can't allow him into the throne room, you can't allow him into heaven. Hallelujah. But I've got an advocate. My advocate is my defense attorney, and his defense of me is going to be, Lord, read the book. Look in the book, Lord. Find, Your Honor, find all those sins of which he's guilty. The Lord's going to turn the pages, and he's going to say, I can't find them. And my defense attorney is going to say, that's right, because my blood has washed them all away. Hallelujah. And the Lord's going to look at me and says, welcome, my good and faithful servant. Enter into life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody glorify him today. But not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into heaven. Not everybody who goes to church every Sunday is getting into heaven. Not everybody who watches live stream every Sunday and claims that's their church is going to heaven. I'm going to stand one day before the Bema seat, before the judgment seat of God. I'm going to stand there. And Jesus is going to be standing there speaking on my behalf. Because after he washed away my sin, I've tried my level best to do what he said, go and sin no more. There's a whole lot of people that believe that as long as you ask Jesus to forgive you, it don't matter how much sin you commit afterwards, you're going to get into heaven anyway. They're called Calvinists. But that's not the fact. That's not the way it is. Jesus said, go and sin no more. Does that mean we're going to be perfect and live completely without sin? Them folks that tell you they do, they might be lying to you, but they're lying to themselves. Because they're going to commit sin. You're going to do it. But when you do, you have an advocate with the Father. When you mess up, now I'm talking about messing up here. When you mess up, when you fail to temptation, you can always come back before the Lord and say, Lord, I didn't want to do that, but I did it anyway. Will you forgive me? And he will. But thanks to God, there are winds of doctrine moving throughout the world today saying that you could be a Christian and still do this. You could be a Christian and still live together without marriage. You could be a Christian and be homosexuals and live together as married people. You can go out and get drunk and do all the things you want and be just like you used to be, having all your fun like you used to. You can do all of that and still get into heaven. Not willfully, you can't. You read the book of Hebrews, it'll shake you up. The book of Hebrews will shake you up about committing willful sin. That song that my brother Kermit Bass wrote, Sinner, what you gonna do when you wake up and find all the good folks gone? Jesus said he would come like a thief in the night to take us home. Two will be walking the road alone. One will look around and the other is gone. What you gonna do when you wake up and find all the good folks gone? I'm gonna get the rest of that song and I'm gonna learn it. I'm gonna make a soundtrack to it. We're gonna sing it. But I got a question to ask you. And they taught us in preacher school not to point with your finger. Because if you're preaching like that, and whether you're pointing at anybody or not, if your finger goes in their direction, they're going to say, he's pointing at me. He's talking directly to me. Now, I got something to tell you. I love y'all. But the Lord gave me this message Monday night. I knew I was preaching this message Monday night. And I'm going to preach it exactly the way the Lord gave it to me. If that's all right with you. There ain't no thing as a special dispensation for you about what's sin in this word. If you're holding on to sin and you're saying, well, it's okay. Me and God's got this understanding. It's okay. I can do this because I got a special understanding of the word that says I can do this. I can twist the word around to the point that it can say I can do these things. I've got friends who go to a church and them friends tell me according to what their pastor says, we could do this. It used to be, saints, way back, it used to be, what must I do to be saved? What must I do, Lord, to be saved? What do I have to give up? What do I have? I'll do anything. Now it's, how much can I do and still be saved? You what now? How close to the line can I get and not fall over? There's a bunch of pictures on the internet and videos of people that were daredevils. They would stand on the edge of a cliff that was thousands of feet in the air. And they would stand there and take pictures, and the next thing you know, it says the next thing that happened after these pictures, they fell off and died. Because they were trying to see how close they could get to death and still live, but they didn't. There's coming a day, saints of God, when there's going to be a bunch of people that stand before the Lord, and they're going to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into life. You've been faithful in the things of God. Enter into life." Hallelujah. There's going to be rejoicing. But there's going to be a bunch of people. And I want everybody to think about this, and I want you to hear this now. There's going to be a bunch of people that are hanging on and saying, "I hope I can get in." There's going to be a bunch of people that hear him say, "Depart from me. I never knew you. Be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now this is exactly the way the Lord told me to tell it to you, and I'm going to do it. What are you going to do when you stand before the judgment seat of God and you find out that that simple little sin that you've been hanging on to, that you have decided that you and God's got a special dispensation, that you and God have got a special understanding about, what are you going to do when you stand before God and that simple little sin keeps you out of heaven? What friend are you going to bring up that's going to argue your case for you? What preacher that's been preaching it that way all the time, and you going to call him up there and argue your case for you? You know what? Ain't none of them going to be found. They ain't none of them going to be coming to your defense. But you can find them now all you want to. Oh, yeah, you can find all kinds of Bible scholars now and preachers now and friends of yours. Oh, no, we can live this way. We don't have to live like them Pentecostals say. We don't have to live like them holiness people say. We don't have to live like that. You know what? I don't believe it is. But there's a chance that we could be wrong. And if we're wrong, we're still getting into heaven. But if we're right, them that ain't getting in. If we're right that you have to live a holiness life to enter into the throne room of God, enter into the presence of God, and all of them with that special dispensation, all of them with that special condition with God, with that understanding that they have with God, they're going to get surprised. We can find a friend right now, all you want to come up and argue that point. You can find all kinds of preachers coming up right now. Multitudes of them right here and now that'll come up and say, "Oh, yes, it's all right, it's fine." But when you're standing right there before the judgment seat of God, it's just going to be you and the Lord. They ain't going to be nowhere nearby. They're not going to come and plead your case for you. Because they're going to have enough arguing of their own to do. I've taught the children for decades. God made the earth perfect. He made Adam and Eve to live forever. He made them in his image and in his likeness. They were made forever and to never die. And God told them, in the day that you take of that fruit in the middle of the garden that I told you not to take, you will surely die. Did he mean that when they bite that fruit, they're going to drop dead like they've been poisoned? It's not what he meant. He meant that once you take the bite of sin, you're going to start the process of dying. I mean, Adam was 369 years old before he died. Methuselah was 969. In those days, they were still living the long life. But God said, you take sin, and that eternal life is gone. Think about that a minute. And when Adam and Eve were in the perfect world, no sin, no wickedness, nothing was wrong. But they fell to temptation, and they committed one sin. Now think about this now. All they did was bite a piece of fruit. That right there nullifies any argument that all these Bible scholars have that, well, there ain't nothing really wrong with that. There ain't nothing really wrong with, you know, taking a drink. There ain't nothing really wrong with putting cancer sticks in your mouth and killing your body, the temple of God. Because, you know, what could that hurt? Who's that going to hurt? Who was biting a piece of fruit going to hurt? The Word of God said to Adam and Eve, don't do it. And when they did it, sin entered into the world. If God says don't ride a purple bicycle on Tuesday, you better walk everywhere you go on Tuesday. It don't make sense to me why he would say that, but he could. And he's God. And if he said it, bless all that's holy, it's the truth. And you need to do it. We taught the children for decades that Adam and Eve came into a perfect world and they let one sin into this world. There's a movie out now that everybody's raving about. It's called The Sound of Freedom. It's a movie about sex trafficking. Sex trafficking is running rampant in our country. Our government officials are taking part in it. Our Hollywood celebrities, our sports figures. There's clubs where you can go and take part in child sex trafficking. It's a big, huge market. Is that not the most wicked thing you've ever heard of in your life? Well, that's not the only wicked thing in this world. There's all kinds of human trafficking. There's all kinds of drug smugglers. There's all kinds of people killing one another, raping one another, robbing one another, stealing, killing, maiming, hatefulness, wickedness, sin. And all of it is sin because the Word of God says it's sin. God made a perfect world. And Adam and Eve let one sin into it, and now look at what it is. I need everybody to hear me when I say this. Everybody pay attention. God said not one sin is entering into heaven. Wait a minute now, Pastor. Sin will not get into heaven. Well, that means I ain't going to sin when I get there. Wait a minute. I need you to understand something. When you commit sin, you become sin. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, their children were born sinful. They didn't have to do a thing. They were born into sin. That's why it don't make sense when the homosexuals say, well, I was born this way. So what? We were all born sinners. We were all born sinners. I don't believe they're born homosexual. I don't believe that. There's all kinds of studies and facts that prove that it is an environmental, it is something that takes place within their lives as they're growing up that causes these things. I've seen study after study after study, and these studies I have seen incident after incident after incident where it is the truth. You can see it. They were born sinners. We're all born sinners. And look what the world has become with one sin. Heaven is a glorious and perfect place. And God said, you ain't doing that to heaven. That means if you've got sin in your life, when you stand before that judgment seat, what's not going in? The sin or you? You. Saints of God, I want you to know something. There is no greater sin. There's all kinds of fighting and arguing about homosexuality. The fact is, homosexuality is just sin. It ain't no greater than lying to your pastor. It ain't no greater than writing $20 on your tithing envelope when you know you're supposed to be tithing $45. That's a lie to God. Why'd I say that? Where'd that come from? It ain't no bigger sin than saying, yes, honey, this tastes great. There's no greater sin. One sin is just as bad as the other. Wickedness is wickedness. Sin is a simple definition, disobedience to God. If you got sin in your life, you need to get it under the blood. Let me tell you something, saints. I struggle with that. If I should happen to slip up or mess up or do something or get angry or lose my temper, I have to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. If I get mad and throw my foot down on the gas pedal, what, Pastor? If the law of the land says drive 55 and you drive 56, what are you doing? Breaking the law. And the Lord tells us to obey the laws of the land unless they conflict with His Word. You'll never convince me that driving 55 is going against the Word of God. And I have to repent of it. Well, Pastor, why do you take it that seriously? Because 56 miles an hour is not worth going to hell over. Amen? That little sin you're hanging on to that you just want to hold on to because it's, you enjoy it, because somebody else has told you it's okay, it ain't worth going to hell over. Well, Brother Mac, we need to be able to be free. Paul said he's a bondman. Paul said he's a slave to Christ. I'm a servant of the Lord. And if my master says to me, don't do that, I don't need to be doing it. Amen? And if your master says to you, obey the word of God, this is what you need to be listening to, and not your friends, not that TV evangelist, not your friend's pastor, but this word. If I tell you to do something that goes against this word, you need to ignore me and go to this word. I'm going to do my level best not to ever tell you to do anything against the Word of God. I'm going to try real hard not to. But if I do, you listen to the Word, not me. Amen. On every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. This is hard. Oh, there's going to be battles with pride in here today. People are going to be fighting against their own pride. Because the Lord's already talking to you about that sin you're holding on to. I ain't talked to you about it. He has. And you arguing with yourself whether or not you can listen to it. Here's three ways you can tell if something's a sin. Number one, if you got to argue with yourself about whether or not it's a sin, guess what? It probably is. Number two, if you don't want nobody to see you doing that thing you've already convinced yourself is all right, guess what? It's a sin. And if you don't want the Lord to stand right there in front of you while you're doing that thing you've already convinced yourself is okay, guess what? He's already there. And it's a sin.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, 820-95-8810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kid Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night, Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m., and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m., or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.